الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فعن أبي عبد الله جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أرأيت إذا صليت المكتوبات وصمت رمضان وأحللت الحلال وحرمت الحرام ولم أزد على ذلك شيئا أأدخل الجنة؟ قال نعم رواه مسلم في صحيحه. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, you may remember from last week when in the same program I talked about how some companions, some inhabitants of Arabia would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from sometimes far off places and ask him matters about religion, ask them for guidance, and more often than not ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pray for them, knowing that the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In today's hadith, this is a rather similar occurrence where a person comes to the Prophet and asks a specific question about his deen, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives his guidance on this matter. In this hadith, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked the following question. He said that, Ya Rasulullah, if I was to read the farz salas, the five prayers that have been prescribed every single day, وَصُمْتُ Ramadan, and if I was to fast during the month of Ramadan, وَأَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالَ, and I was to treat the halal things in religion as halal, meaning I would make halal halal, and inshallah I'll come back to this in a moment, وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ, and I considered the haram things to be haram, to be unlawful, وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا, and other than these four things, that I don't do anything extra. I only do these things. I only perform salah. I fast during the month of Ramadan. I consider the halal halal. I consider the haram haram. And I don't do anything else in religion. أَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, will I enter into paradise? Will I be granted a place in Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply replied, Na'am. Yes, you will be granted a place in paradise. And this hadith, like with many others, firstly confirms the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had knowledge of those people around him who would be privileged to enter into Jannah and who would enter into the fire of hell. He already had been given that knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only for those companions of his time. Rather, in another similar narration, a very strong narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, إِنِّي لَعَارِفُ آخِرَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَآخِرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, that verily I have full knowledge, لَعَارِفُ, I know now, the last person who will enter into Jannat and the last person to enter into Jahannam. The Prophet told us at that time, and obviously this knowledge had been given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he had to reinstate this because the munafiqs in the time of Medina Sharif would question the knowledge of the Prophet. And we understand from this that only the hypocrites, those people whose hearts are confused, have any doubts and raise questions about the true knowledge of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A few points to mention back on this hadith. Firstly, in this hadith, the person, when he talked to the Prophet, he only mentioned two of the pillars of Islam. He said that if I perform salah and if I fast in the month of Ramadan. And in this hadith, he made no mention of performing the Hajj, and he made no mention of giving zakah, which we know are also pillars of Islam. So why did he not mention Hajj and why did he not mention zakah? And the ulama ikram have given the response that this hadith and this person asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a time when Hajj had not been made compulsory upon the Ummah. Remember, it was only when the Prophet went to Medina Sharif and late on in the time in Medina Sharif that Hajj became compulsory. So the chances are that this companion asked the Prophet this particular question before Hajj had been made compulsory. Otherwise, surely he would have mentioned Hajj as well in this hadith. As for Zakah, the ulama ikram say, commenting on this hadith, that perhaps he was not rich enough to give Zakat. And he knew that Zakat was not farz upon him. Remember, you have to have a certain amount of wealth before you actually give Zakat. So perhaps this person was so poor that he knew that he was not what we call a sahib-e-nisab. He did not have enough to be considered a person that has to give Zakah. In this hadith, once this person asked that if I perform Salah and if I fast during the month of Ramadan, he said, وَأَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالَ وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ, that I consider the halal as halal and I consider the haram as haram. What exactly does this sentence mean? Does it mean that he knows what is halal in his religion and what is haram? From what the ulama-i kiram have mentioned, it means more than that. It doesn't mean not just to know what is allowed in his religion and what is not. For all Muslims know that to drink alcohol is forbidden, to perform certain acts are forbidden in Islam. When it says to believe something, to make halal halal, to make haram haram, it means to act upon it as well, to actually implement that as well. Otherwise, on the road you will find the drivers, now most of them will know, for instance, that using a mobile phone while driving is forbidden, it's unlawful and against the rules of this country now. But how many of them are considering this forbidden rule as forbidden? Meaning, how many of them are actually implementing this and ensuring that they don't use the mobile phone once they are driving? So there is a difference between knowing the rules and there is a difference between actually implementing them. And that is what this person is trying to express here in this hadith. He's saying that وَأَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالِ, that I know what the halal things are, but I will ensure that I implement these as well. وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ, and I make the haram things haram, that I ensure that once I know what the haram things are in my religion, that I will do whatever I can to implement that, make sure I stay away from these things. And such a person, as we see in this hadith, is guaranteed a place in Jannah, is guaranteed a place in paradise. One last thing to mention about this hadith is that when this companion asked the Prophet that I will, if I perform Salah, if I perform the fasting in the month of Ramadan, I consider the things halal, I consider the things as haram, then he said, وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. He insisted and he said that, Ya Rasulullah, I am not going to do anything extra. I am not going to do any other acts that are in Islam, rather these four things. And then he said, is this enough for me to enter into Jannah? Then the Prophet said, yes it is. So a person can ask that, what about the other things in religion? What about the fact that Islam has talked about huququl ibad, the rights of fellow servants? There is no mention of that in this hadith. That is surely a part of Islam. To look after your elders, to show respect to them, not to backbite, not to swear, not to lie, all of these things are part of Islam. He made no guarantee of those points. He didn't say that I will ensure that I do not swear. He did not say I will ensure that I do not do ghibat. He just promised these four things. And still the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a guarantee of paradise. So what is the answer to this? Does this mean that you can only do the pillars and that is enough for you in Islam? What the ulama ikram say is that a true mu'min, a true believer, when he acts upon even perhaps just one pillar of Islam properly and wholeheartedly, then automatically he is acting upon all of Islam. For example, when a person performs Salah properly, as the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet have practically shown, then straight away he knows that he is in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does it with humility, he does it with humbleness. He does it five times a day. he thinks to himself that if I am performing salah, then what is the point of performing sin between these periods, between Fajr and Zuhr? If I am having in conversation with Allah, then I go out and sin and then come back into the mosque, what is the point in that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that a true salah stops a person from lewd and bad behavior. So when a person, even just by salah, when he performs that perfectly and he performs that as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered, then automatically he acts upon many other parts of Islam. He picks up other parts naturally. He will come to the mosque, he will meet his brothers, he will speak with them, he will be doing tahara, he will ensure that he is remaining clean, his body is clean, his place of worship is clean. He will be acting upon Islam in so many different ways. So that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this person a guarantee of Jannah. He knew that this person, yes, he only said in this hadith that he would be reading salah, that he would be fasting in the month of Ramadan. But even if he did these things properly, then automatically he will do the other things as well. When a person in the month of Ramadan, he is giving up eating and drinking for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does this with the right intention, then outside Ramadan he will think to himself that I, during the month of Ramadan for 30 days, have given up something which is normally halal for me, normally permitted for me. So why outside the month of Ramadan can I not give up something which is haram for me now? All of those bad acts. So automatically you will see that even a small part of Islam, if he acts upon it well, then automatically he understands his religion and acts upon different parts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand our religion and to act upon it wholeheartedly. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghul mubeen. آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وسلم عليه. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أعنا على تلاوة القرآن وذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك, وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.